doors, you kick down walls, and anyone who tells you you can't, you take your fears, your insecurities, your worries, you roll them all up into a ball, you turn those some bitches sideways and stick them straight up their candy ass.
Pick your goal and stick fucking to it, you wishy-washy motherfuckers. I can't fucking stand you.
I wanted to make sure that out of the 24 hours of the day, that I don't waste one single hour. Those hours were too precious. And so there I just want to tell people, don't give me this thing, I have a difficult time, I need the time, and I don't have time for this, and I don't have that. You have time. You make the time.
And now, welcome to the Be Informed Live Fit Podcast, sponsored by FitnessInformant.com. And he kill it while you sitting down, bitch, about how I triple my fan base, net worth, bitch. Can't say there's worse, bitch. Do something, fuck it, I prove something, don't switch up.
Alright guys, what's going on? Welcome inside the Be Informed Live Fit Podcast Episode 2. I'm your host, FitnessInformant.com President Ryan Buckeye. Welcome inside the YouTube channel, or if you're listening to us on iTunes or our Facebook page, etc. Appreciate you all stopping by, checking out Episode 2. Episode 1 featuring 8-time Mr. Olympian champion, Ronnie Coleman. If you have not heard or watched that yet on our YouTube channel, I highly suggest that you do so. Typically, we have Shane from Stack coming on the episode to talk about 10, 15 minutes about the state of the supplement industry. However, this episode will not feature him. It'll just be me. And then your guest of the evening, CEO Caged Muscle Supplements, the one and only Chris Geffen. Great conversation with Chris today I had, everybody, and I think you're going to love what Chris has to say. He's a very educated, knowledgeable human being on the subjects of fitness, supplements, CrossFit, marathons, all of the above. Very knowledgeable source. It was a pleasure to chat with him and have him on right here at the Be Informed Live Fit Podcast. I realized that in episode one, I didn't necessarily do a good job of explaining what exactly Fitness Informant is and FitnessInformant.com. We created this podcast, and I told you why we created the podcast, to bring education and knowledge to everybody who's trying to live a better life through health and wellness, to become a better version of themselves, if you will. And the same can be said for FitnessInformant.com. I created FitnessInformant.com back in October of 2016. Why? I had a short stint with an e-commerce supplement company after graduating college with my master's degree. I learned the ins and the outs of the supplement, or what we like to call the sports nutrition industry. And what I learned was this, that the industry people, it is shady as fuck. That's right, I cussed. But that's exactly what it is. There are so many brands, upstart brands, people who create supplement companies from their basement. There are some big supplement companies, and what they do is they will spend $2, $3, maybe at most $4 to make a pre-workout that's shitty as shit, and then they have the audacity, the balls to charge you, the consumer, somebody who makes their money by working their ass off, hopefully, up to $40, if not more, for that pre-workout supplement or whatever supplement it might be. I don't stand for that. I can't have that happen. I know. At least the people who follow us on our social media channel, whether it be Facebook or Instagram or even our Snapchat channel, I know that you all care, at least the ones that reach out to me, about your health, your wellness, and you actually take a vested interest in the future of you, because you get one of these. And I'm pointing to myself. For those of you not watching on YouTube, I'm pointing to my body, my skeleton. You get one. You need to take care of it. And I never liked seeing people, spend $40 on a pre-workout, or spend $60 on an over-the-counter fat burner or test booster that's actually going to be more detrimental to their health than beneficial. Because the fact of the matter is, a lot of the supplements on the market are doing exactly that. They're being detrimental to our health. Or people will get this bright idea that a supplement's going to change the way they look or change the way they feel. Yes, a pre-workout can get you jazzed up and ready to roll for a workout, but you're not going to sit your ass on the couch, pop a pill, and miraculously lose 20 pounds. It just doesn't happen. It takes hard work. It takes dedication. It takes commitment in the gym and the kitchen to make things happen. Your supplements are exactly that. They're supplemental to whole foods. They're supplemental to help you supplement your diet to achieve your goals. And my goal is to use my fitnessinformant.com platform to help educate all of you looking for the next best pre-workout. Spend your hard-earned money on a supplement that's going to work hard for you. It's one of our mottos. You work hard for your money, so your supplements should work hard for you. What I do is these companies send me their pre-workouts. They send me their proteins. They send me their BCAAs, in which I use myself. I look into the ingredient deck. I do research on ingredients. I let you know exactly if they're dosed correctly, if they're underdosed, if it's worth the money, if it tastes like shit, if it mixes poorly, etc. So that way you don't make a mistake by spending hard-earned money on a supplement that's just not going to do a damn thing for you. So that, in a nutshell, is what Fitness Informant is. I am a certified personal trainer. I have a fitness background. I write fitness articles. I help people lose weight. I help people change their lives for the better through fitnessinformant.com, through the YouTube channel, through this podcast, in the gym, in life, whatever it might be. That's really what I do. That's really what I get off on. And that sounds sexual, I get it, but I love helping people through fitness and health. It's what I do. It's what I love to do. And it's why I created Fitness Informant. It's why I created this podcast, the Be Informed, Live Fit podcast. And it's why I talk to people like Chris Gethin from Cage Muscle Supplements, because I know that he has a ton of education that I don't have. He has a ton of knowledge that I don't have, but he can provide that to me. He can provide that to you all via the audio or via the video, however you're checking it out. And we all can get better and learn from that. So that's what I'm excited about, and that's really what fitnessinformant.com is about. We have huge supplement deals over at fitnessinformant.com as well. So there's a lot of websites out there that'll promote any deal, any supplement deal on the internet. I don't do that. I only showcase deals on supplements that are FI approved, meaning that they're good supplements, meaning that they're effective, meaning that they're dosed correctly. So if a supplement like that goes on sale, which is very few and far between, because high quality supplements rarely go on sale because they cost money to make. But when they do, I let you all know about it. You're not going to see me promoting something like Cellucor. No offense, Cellucor, or at least the C4, sorry. No offense, Cellucor C4. I'm not going to promote you because you're not a good pre-workout. So even if I can make a commission off of promoting you, I just refuse to do that. I don't jeopardize or put into question my morals and my brand. My brand was created on trust from all of you, and I hope that you continue to trust me through platforms like this podcast, the website, whatever we do. At the website, too, we have exclusive discount codes with online retailers. Use those codes. Take advantage of the cost savings. It'll help you out. It'll help you save a few bucks on your supplements that you guys work hard for. So why not, right? So check out the site for coupon codes. Check out the site for big deals. Check out the site for honest, no bullshit reviews, in-depth articles written by me. I really do it all over at fitnessinformant.com, and I really try to do it all right here on the Be Informed, Live Fit podcast. So I think we've heard enough from me, and I have a lot to say about this industry. I really do. I have a lot to talk about, and over the next several months and years or whatever this podcast goes, we're going to talk about things like pricing and effectiveness and shady-ass tactics and supplements and everything else. But for now, I'm going to shut my mouth. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to let you all enjoy the knowledge from one of the most respected men in the fitness industry, one of the most respected men now in the supplement industry. He's the one and only CEO of Cage Muscle Supplements, the one and only Chris Gethin. So we're going to take a short, slight little break, come back with the CEO himself, and if you have any questions post-show, post them here in the comments on our YouTube channel, or if you're listening on iTunes, check us out over at Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter. Always, always here to help out a fellow fitness guru. What's up, guys? Ryan, fitnessinformant.com president here. Did you know that we work directly with Supps.com to offer you all a 5% discount on all of your supplement purchases? That's right. Visit Supps.com, use promo code INFORMANT, and save 5% off your entire order. All orders over $59 will ship for free. All right, guys, what's going on? Welcome inside the Be Informed, Live Fit podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, there's really no introduction needed for the man that you see on the screen right now, but for those of you listening on iTunes and other audio outlets, it is the man, the Iron Man, some might say, Chris, the CEO of Cage Muscle Supplements, Chris Gethin, is joining me. Dude, I really appreciate this more than you know, so thank you so much.
No, thank you very much for reaching out. You know, as soon as you said that you'd got this podcast on the go, and I'm all about that, especially you guys have been very, very supportive of us. Of course, it'd be rude not to, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, no. I mean, you're a busy man. Your life has changed a lot dramatically in the last, I'd say, what, 7 to 10 years in terms of starting the Cage Muscle. How old is the Cage Muscle brand?
Cage Muscle, yeah, we only started like in 2015.
Yeah, so it's super new.
Yeah. We're very, very young. And my life was very, very busy before that, but I was always behind the scenes as opposed to in front of the scenes, you know, where
right.
I was kind of pushed in front of the camera and then pushed in front of other areas, which, you know, eventually
sure.
created Cage Muscle. So I've always been voluntarily distracted. Because I always say I don't like to think too much because it makes me think too much.
Yeah. Well, let's. I want to start and I want to get back to kind of your roots in the fitness and health. But beforehand, huge congratulations. You are the brand of the year, Vitamin Shoppe, which is not a small company. You guys were voted by the fans, by the people. So we can call Cage Muscle the people's champion. And what I really like about what they did is and what the people did is it came down to basically two of my favorite brands, yourself.
Yeah.
Mark Glazer, yeah, Mark Glazer, NutriBio. I saw some of the comments that you made. Do you feel that this could be that there's a tipping point going on with the consumers being more educated about what they're putting in their body in terms of you two brands being in the finals for this?
Yeah, definitely. There's no doubt about it. Myself and Mark actually spoke this week by email because we're both very happy for each other.
Yeah,
no doubt about it. If they had won, I would have been the first to actually, you know, reach out and congratulate them because
sure.
I love what they're all about. And there is definitely a shift. There's a renaissance happening where I think, you keep throwing something out there, eventually it's going to stick. And our educational platforms, mm-hmm. which have been reaching out via video trainers, article content, now podcasts, books, et cetera, it's starting to reach out. And the consumer is becoming more health conscious anyway. You know, if you look at the Thrive Market or if you look at Whole Foods,
mm-hmm.
you know, the local co-ops, they're expanding. You're seeing the local butchers are now having people reach out to them. The local farmers are having people reach out to them because now they're sick of the GMO and the pesticides and, you know, the herbicides and being exposed to all these incidents where we're seeing a very sharp rise.
Mm-hmm.
People having a lot of problems. So I think people are becoming more conscious with themselves when it comes to their food. And obviously that, you know, goes into the supplements now as well. So the consumer's becoming more educated. And, you know, thankfully there's people like ourselves and Mark that are there to feed that.
How much do you think that's driven by A, the millennials, and B, technology?
It's going to be a bit of both because thankfully my girlfriend's a millennial and I have no idea how to use technology. it's definitely a bit of both for sure, you know, because we no longer do we have to go by, you know, the print publication and expos, which, you know, only myself and Mark have just done a little bit of. It's more so the social marketing. And I wouldn't say so much the millennials because when I have people come up to me at various events, expos, or, you know, at the appearances. A lot of people may be in their 30s and 40s, not only the millennials. So I think it's just more of an educational platform, and technology has allowed us to do that with so much more video. You know,
yeah.
The attention span, especially, you know, let's say about millennials, may be a little bit shorter because they're so used to having that instant gratification. So with the social technology that we have available to us, we can instantly give them educational content in 60 seconds or more.
Yeah. And for those of you guys listening and watching on YouTube, Chris has a really awesome hardcore video trainer series that you guys can go and you can download it. Can you download it from the Cage Muscle website or from the YouTube channel? Or how would they get that?
Yeah, you can go on to cagedmuscle.com. I've got video trainers on there. I've got them on bodybuild.com. And you can go to the YouTube channel. But people generally will go to cagedmuscle.com to
mm-hmm.
view video trainers, or they'll go to the All Access Pass, which is a subscription based on bodybuilding.com.
Perfect. I want to hold that thought because we're going to come back to that, but let's go back to your start. What was the moment? Now, most people have that moment when they realize something switches in their mind, that they want to become healthy. Most people aren't born with that mindset. What about you? Is there a moment in your life where the light bulb clicked on, it's I need to get healthy or I want to live a more healthy lifestyle?
Yeah, it was definitely, I raced motocross for many years.
Awesome.
And it was eventually a back injury that just put me out. That was accumulating over a certain amount of time. I had a severe curvature, which I still hold now. And I'd seen many specialists, and nothing helped me until I actually started doing rehab and resistance training. And when I started to increase the strength of the muscles around my spine, I got alleviated of the pain, which made me feel better because I was with depression, because now I didn't have that adrenaline rush that I once had. And then I found that through weight training, I was starting to get a bit of an adrenaline rush through that. So I gravitated towards it. And when I started to study it so much more, I found that I was able to retain that content that I was reading. Because in school, I was terrible. I was uneducated. I hated school. I didn't enjoy the classes that I was being taught. I don't work well in groups. I'm very much an individual kind of character. So when I found this through independence and that I was able to retain it, I decided, you know what, I'm going to go to college and study this for several years, which I did. And then I basically used that as my ticket to get out of Wales, where I come from, and my social circumstances, which was a lot of alcohol, drugs, the wrong people. Not to say that they're bad people, but I was definitely gravitating towards it. So this was my ticket, my international qualification to get me out of there. And that was it.
When did you move to the States?
I moved to the States in 2005. I was living in Australia prior to that.
Okay.
And I'd owned a gym in Australia. And during this time, I started writing content because I wanted to reach out to more people than I had within my gym. And I decided after, you know, about a year and a half of doing that, I was going to risk everything, sell the gym, move to Venice, California, and just continue to hassle every publisher there was out there until somebody gave in to my annoyance and took me on. So after 6 months of doing that, I got a writers and photographers contract with WIDA Publications.
Okay.
2005.
And since then, how many books have you had published?
I've published about 6 books.
It's impressive, man.
Since then, yeah, I'm probably terrible at it because I do the marketing when I do it. It's a form of therapy, much like training is therapy for me. So I like to write and then put it out there, forget it, and move on to the next one. So that's kind of what I do. If people like it, enjoy it, they contact me, good.
Right.
I've done my job if someone's consumed it.
What was the biggest adjustment for you moving from Wales to Australia to the States? Specifically here in America. Was there a huge learning curve, huge adjustment for you?
Yeah, it was definitely an expansion. You know, I think people in the UK work harder. There's no doubt about it. I find that, you know, that's not being derogatory to anybody else, you know, here.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely a form of intensity about people where they'll work a little harder. But I'm generalizing.
Sure.
And I think that's why there's people, you know, I know a lot of Europeans and a lot of people from overseas that have really done well in the U.S. because I find this is the land of opportunity. There's no doubt about it, especially now in this day and age. There's so many things that I think if I wasn't in this industry, I could possibly do that. And you just have to take advantage of it because I think it's very easy for you to take everything for granted because it is a great country. You have great weather. You have the great outdoors, where a lot of the time we don't have the pleasure of nice weather in the UK. So, when you're giving something like this, it's like you really put it close to heart and take advantage of it.
Where'd you work out when you lived in Venice?
In Gold's Gym.
Obviously. This one?
For several years, looking at all the freaks and uniques, you know?
Yeah. How long did you stick around there for?
I was there for like 3 years.
Okay.
Nearly 3 years I was there working for WIDA Publications, and then I gave up on that after a couple of years and decided to publish my own magazine, which was Caged Muscle. 2 years online, 1 year actual paper publication, and I was doing some freelance for magazines at that time and websites, and it was during that time Bodybuilding.com CEO, then CEO and founder Ryan DeLuca contacted me and asked if I would interview for the position of editor-in-chief, which then took me to Boise, Idaho.
I didn't realize that you started Caged Muscle as a publication company or like an online content, and then it morphed into the supplement company that it is today, huh?
Yeah. You know, to begin with, I had that magazine and, you know, I started my Body Space account, Caged Muscle, because I used to teach kickboxing and Muay Thai when I was in Australia. And I was very much into cage fighting and MMA fighting, and as well as bodybuilding. So I thought I wanted to merge the both within this publication. So that's how Caged Muscle was born.
It's very cool. And then obviously people are pretty much well aware of, you're all over bodybuilding.com. What's your association with them today? Are you still associated with them outside of providing them with Caged Muscle supplements?
Yeah, I provide content. I'm not like an official athlete.
Sure.
Although I was. you know, I had to make that choice, and you know, we had to make that choice that, you know, when we're creating bodybuilding.com, Cage Muscle, sorry, and becoming a vendor, mm-hmm. then it's going to be a little bit biased if I was to be an athlete as well.
Right.
So now I provide content. You know, I'm doing a live feed with those guys on Friday.
Very good.
Workouts. I'll also be doing a CrossFit session on Tuesday, a live feed, and you know, providing content, and I'll be there on their booth at Body Power in the UK, and you know, the Arnold, the Olympia, and stuff. Right. And, you know, that's our association. You know, great partnership, and they're just 30 minutes up the road, so sure. It's easy to go there and do content.
Yeah, and that's how I mean, we worked together before the last Olympia. I met you down in Vegas at the Olympia briefly. You were super busy at the booth. You mentioned CrossFit. CrossFit takes a lot of flack from people in the bodybuilding community. Rightfully so, wrongfully so, or what's, I mean, obviously if you're involved with it, but I mean, do you think it takes a negative connotation from those in the bodybuilding community because they don't necessarily understand what it is?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's wrongfully so. You know, it's like people were, you know, frowning down on me when I was preparing for my Ironman. You know, why? Because I'm doing squats and a Bosu ball, you know, it looks stupid. I understand that, but it definitely had a means to it. You know, I needed the strength in my ankles. Right. I've sprained my ankles, I don't know how many times, and broken them. So, you know, it's something that I had to do, and I'm so glad that I trained the way that I did, no matter how much flack I got. And with the guys in CrossFit, I'd say they're the pinnacle athletes. You know, there's no reason whatsoever why they shouldn't be called the fittest in the world, because these guys are strong, mm-hmm. they're versatile, they can run on their hands, they can swim, you know, they run fast miles. They're so versatile. And if you look at all the top guys, I think people frown upon the people that are maybe intermediate or right. beginners, because, you know, they don't look like they're anything and they're maybe training wrong in the beginning because it's tough. But if you look at the top guys, they look freaking awesome. Like, have abs all year round.
Right.
Like, female physiques and bodybuilders and, you know, figure chicks don't generally have abs all year round. Like, these women are strong, they're tough, they're fast, they're versatile. I think it's awesome. You know, yeah. It's not something that's for me that I would do entirely. You know, my elbows would probably fall off.
Yeah.
I'd tear another groin. But I, you know, I bow my head down to it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think there's certain aspects from CrossFit that I would incorporate into my training. I'm still a bodybuilder type of mentality. I like to lift weights, push weights. It's what I love to do. But I don't. Sure. I think wrongfully so that they get some bad flack from people who don't necessarily understand what it is.
Yeah, I'm the same as you. I will always have my pivotal foot in bodybuilding. That's me. That's my therapy. But if I want to go and do CrossFit or an ultra marathon or, you know, triathlon, whatever, then I'll use my right leg to go out and do that at the same time.
Mentally, how tough was the Ironman?
Extremely tough. Probably the most hardest thing I've done mentally ever, because I had to translate my intensity that is usually compact into 40 minutes
mm-hmm.
and then try to realign my mental energy and focus and strategy to say, okay, now you're going to do that for like 12 hours. You know, it's completely different. You know, if I'm going out on a Sunday, for instance, okay, I'm going to go for a 100-mile bike ride today. I'll be back in 6, 7, 8 hours.
Yeah, it's nuts.
So it's a completely different strategy that was very hard mentally to get my head around. But once you get into it, it's just like anything. You know, you get into that rut, then you create a road, then you create a freeway, and then you go.
What was the reason for the Ironman?
I wanted to, because I've always done cardio twice a day,
sure.
every day. It's just something that I've always enjoyed. And it's allowed me, I believe, to put on more muscle because it allows me to eat more clean calories. You know, as a natural bodybuilder, our protein synthesis is only so much. So I can increase that synthesis by doing more cardio to burn more calories and to uptake more calories. Because when your body goes through a state of depletion or intensity or fasting, the uptake of the food then is much, much higher, much like your anabolic window post-workout. So if I can do that several times a day, I'm going to take advantage of that quote-unquote anabolic window. And I used to laugh at so many bodybuilders. You know, I'm not talking about 280-pound bodybuilders. I mean, of my size, about 220 or less. And putting their feet up, especially beginners, thinking, I got to retain all my calories. I can't burn through them. I can't do it. Do any cardio because I'll lose all this muscle. So I thought, well, let me go to the absolute extreme
yeah.
and show these people, because it's only an extreme that you can show a comparative measure of that people will actually adapt and listen to. So I thought, I'll get my, you know, my body mass, my muscle density, my fat, every, you know, VO2 max, everything done in the beginning, in the lab, and at the end, to show people that not only this is my result, I was able to finish within 6 months of training, but, you know, you can actually pack on muscle if you are smart and you strategize your training, supplement, and nutrition and rest accordingly. So if I'm stressing one system one day, I'm going to stress another system the other day. I'm not going to go back to back, if that makes sense. So, you know, that's why I did it, and I'm glad I did.
I just want to say, to your point about bodybuilders who put their feet up, who necessarily don't do cardio. I used to be that way. I used to be pushing weight, not going to do cardio. I started incorporating cardio 6 months ago, and it's changed everything for me too, in terms of I feel 100 times better. I look bigger, even though I weigh less. So for those bodybuilders that are listening to this who think that they don't need to do cardio, what would be your advice to those people?
Get out there and do it. You know, just because monkey says doesn't mean monkey should do. I'd say go out there, give it a go. Maybe for 3 months, you might be pleasantly surprised. However, you do have to supplement more and eat more to do that. You know, when I was doing my Ironman training, I was making sure that I was going through 500 calories every hour while I was out there on the bike or the trails, dependent off the, if there was more elevation or the wind was against me, etc. But as long as you supplement, eat, hydrate for that, you'll be pleasantly surprised how fast your body is able to recover then from those weights workouts. Because with a better blood flow and a better transportation of the oxygen and nutrient-rich blood to those localized areas, you'll be surprised. You know, get through a workout, you're like, okay, I'm ready to go again the next day. I don't need a day off. You know, I speak to people like Danny Hessler, you know, for instance, Hesse, who won the, you know, the first Mr. Olympia. He never takes a day off training. He trains 7 days a week. You know, he's able to recover and do that because he's adapted to it. And, you know, he's got a martial arts background. He likes to be very versatile within his training as well. And you look at the CrossFit guys.
Yeah.
Do they look like they're skinny? You see how far that they train every single day.
Yeah. You mentioned bodybuilders. Dorian Yates, mentor of yours. What drew you into him?
I've known Dorian for many, many years. And what drew me towards Dorian more than anything was definitely not so much his physique, even though I am a huge fan of his physique, but it was definitely what he carried from the neck up, that mental intensity that was so purely individual and it wasn't influenced by anything or anyone at all, not in the slightest. And he came from this small, dingy little dungeon gym in Birmingham that nobody in the center of Birmingham would even know existed, even though it was there. Nobody even knew who Dorian Yates was, you know? And, you know, he would just come out of those shadows every year and not even think about, okay, what about the politics in bodybuilding? What about the color of my skin? You know, Lee Haney winning behind before him, because everybody would tell him that there was no way that he was going to be that guy. But, you know, I love that intensity. And, you know, the stories that I used to hear from Peter McGough, who was my boss at Flex Magazine, you know, was just absolutely unbelievable. And I used to love listening to those stories. One of them being that after he'd won one of the Mr. Olympias, you know, because there was no internet or anything, he would just fly out. He would leave, maybe do a photo shoot with Chris Lunn and then go back to England. And, you know, the show was on a Saturday. And on the Monday, Peter McGough calls his house, you know, to do the post-Olympia interview. And his then wife answered the phone and she said, oh, no, he's not here. As soon as he landed, he went straight to the gym. It's leg day. And that was just the way he was. He was straight back in it, getting ready to dominate the following year's Olympia. And I just love that. I just love that mental intensity. And I think it's very inspiring and there's not enough of it around.
And you two are still pretty close to this day?
Yeah, yeah, very good friends. You know, he's a good guy. I've always got on with him very well. You know, he lives in Spain now and I've stayed with him a couple of times in Spain, completely mellow. And as I was getting ready for my ultra marathon, we went running in the Red Rock Canyons in Vegas.
Very cool.
There. And, you know, he's a fit, very fit guy now. I've done a CrossFit session with him. And, you know, even though he's in his 50s, he's very hard to keep up with. Very hard to keep up with.
What's that mentality? Yeah, that mentality. So that's awesome. That's good stuff. Phil Heath, if he wins this year, is he the greatest bodybuilder of all time?
you know, that's going to be debatable, isn't it? You know, because I think a bodybuilder, greatest bodybuilder of all time, has to come from various entities, whether that be just judging on the amount of Sandoz you've got on your mantelpiece, mm-hmm. or how much of an evangelist you've been for the sport, how good you've been with the fans.
Right.
But I think it all comes to, you know, it's going to be very opinionated in that regards, and it can come from very, you know, various kind of degrees of separation, if you will. You know, if I look at someone like Flex Lewis, you know, he's an amazing Mr. Olympia because I've seen him stay until, you know, the very, very last fan has left.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good like that. So, you know, it's very different. You know, I'll leave that out to someone else to answer.
Flex is a sweetheart of a guy. Super nice. Super, super nice. Hopefully have him on here sometime. But yeah, great guy. It is interesting how that debate will always come about. But if you look at the bodybuilders on the scene today, let's take Flex and Phil out of it. Is there somebody whose physique super impresses you that hasn't necessarily won the Olympia, hasn't won an Arnold yet, that you think is just around the corner to being something extremely big?
Yeah, it's very tough. Well, obviously, we've seen Big Ramy come up, but you know he's never really dialed it in. And if he does dial it in, maybe, but I don't know if he's actually got that muscle separation. I feel that he maybe grew a little bit too fast.
Sure.
So that separation from one muscle group to the next hasn't really created that depth. I really like Luke Sandow from the UK.
Okay.
He recently placed, where was he, third in Indiana, I believe, and he placed top six at the Arnold in Australia, you know, and he's new to the scene. He's a young kid, and he's a, you know, very nice, humble, down-to-earth guy. And if he stays injury-free, you know, like he puts out some poses that are very reminiscent of Dorian Yates, and he does them just with justice.
Mm-hmm. Speaking, I just want, this will be the last subject we talk about, then we're going to get back into your line a little bit. But speaking of young guy, Dallas McCarver, passing away last summer, super young, ton of potential, a lot of negative publicity came with the death, given everything that happened. Unfortunate, super unfortunate. Did you know Dallas personally? Yes, no, and if not, that's fine. But like, what was your thoughts around that whole situation?
I've met Dallas several times. You know, I can't say that I knew him well.
Sure.
But I met him several times, and every time that I'd met him, he seemed very, very nice. You know, much like with, you know, talking in the same sort of realm to Rich Piana. You know, there's a lot of negative things said about Rich, and, you know, obviously that you can't agree with everything that people say and do. But, you know, Rich was always very, very nice to me, and he seemed like a very nice person as well. But, you know, the industry, because bodybuilders look a certain way,
yeah.
Even though other sports might be rife with extracurricular supplementation, it's very easy target to point the finger at. And you know, if you look at how everything went down with Dallas, could have happened to anybody.
Yeah.
Could have happened to anybody. It's just that bodybuilding has that negative connotation surrounding it, and unfortunately, there's a lot of insecure people that follow it who are quick to point the finger.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So, people that are watching on YouTube might be wondering, like, what I'm drinking right now in my sugar cup. You have your cup there. It's actually probably my favorite supplement that you make. Yeah. So I've always said, if Cage Muscle decide to get rid of all their supplements, the one thing that they can never get rid of is HydroCharge, which to me it's a no-brainer. People should use this all the time. They're drinking energy drinks, which are high in sugar. They're drinking soda. This is super cheap per serving, people. Like it's, and I think that you've actually said this is one of your favorite supplements as well. What's so special about HydroCharge?
Because it makes me drink several of these a day. If I have plain water, I just don't drink enough.
Right.
And with our bodies made up of up to 70% fluid, you know, that is that's what we need more than anything. More than anything, I notice if my function is down or if my recovery is down, a lot of people will look at their post-workout shake and making sure that they have enough food in to completely recover. A lot of the time, it's people are dehydrated, and that's why they don't recover. And I think it's very important to have some sort of natural flavor, as opposed to artificial flavors and artificial colors, to help supplement with that. And I think it's just so convenient to have, because, like, I don't want to be taking my scoops of glutamine all day and my scoops of BCAAs all day. I prefer to just put it in here and use this as my flavoring system, so I have, like, the drip feed all day. So having my electrolytes in there, because as you know, fluid volume doesn't, you know, necessarily hydrate you, it's the electrolytes,
right?
And you know, having antioxidants, because we build up so much oxidization and free radical damage because of the environment that we live in now, because of molds, because of pollution, and because of the stress that us physically active people put upon ourselves. I think it's very important that we have a lot of antioxidants in our system as well.
You mentioned branched chain amino acids. There's been a lot of new research coming out about how, you know, debunking BCAAs and how you need a full spectrum of essential amino acids. Sure, there might be some truth to it. There's been a ton of studies around BCAAs. There's been very minimal studies around the full spectrum EAAs. What's your take on that subject, which has been a hot subject lately?
Yeah, I think they both have a huge amount of benefit. Both of them. You can't say that one doesn't work by itself.
Right.
If you think about how much your muscle actually retains, your liver retains, you have plenty within your system already. It's that you don't have to dose them exactly at the same time. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. You know, so for instance, our post-workout shake, we have our essential amino acids in it. We have our conditionally essential amino acids. We have our branched chain amino acids. But throughout the day, with the foods that we're eating, with whatever, you know, with the BCAAs that we may be eating and drinking, we have a good consumption of it. But I do believe essential amino acids in a supplemental form does have its time and place as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't say, though, if you don't have the essential amino acids, that BCAAs are useless by themselves. That's completely wrong, because I can tell you right now, when I was doing my Ironman training, out of all the supplements that we carry, the BCAAs was definitely the most beneficial to me. There's no doubt about it. I was able to recover so much better, and I felt that I didn't have the lactic acid buildup as I did without it. So there's no doubt, you know, people can say whatever they want. I know exactly what it does.
Sure.
You know? But essential amino acids, for sure. And we will be bringing out an essential amino acid very, very soon as well.
That's awesome. That was actually one of my next questions. What's next for Cage Muscle? You guys have a phenomenal casein protein. I mean, it's the best I've ever had. Your pre-workout pre-cage, one of the best on the market. Obviously, HydroCharge, Re-Cage. I mean, the list goes on. So EAAs, we got that coming.
Yeah.
What's the timing on that?
Hopefully we're going to have that out within the next 3 months.
That's awesome.
We've been testing that for a long, long time. We've been testing it, you know, with various other ingredients and without the ingredients, and see what's, you know, what people are going to be attracted to. So we may release both of those.
Sure.
And we'll be bringing out an isolate very soon, because even though, you know, Re-Cage is the best to have post-workout, a lot of people want to take it several times a day. They have it in their breakfast. They want to mix it with casein. But people don't necessarily want to have the creatine HCL in it, the beta power, or that particular flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Have a pure isolate as well. That will have, you know, the same enzymes. You know, it'll be naturally flavored, naturally colored. You know, so it'll be very high premium, but that you can take any time during the day as well.
That's awesome. All right, I want to get into some questions here for the last 5 minutes from people that we've taken on social media. And we're actually going to start with Aaron Singerman. You know exactly who that is. The people listening know exactly who Aaron Singerman is. It's the CEO of Redcon One. But he said he wants to know, what is the one thing that you like least about the supplement industry?
What do I like the least about the supplement industry? That anybody can start a brand.
Sure.
And it's not regulated.
Yes.
You know, it seems like all you need to have is like a big YouTube following, and then put a label on a product and say, this is the best. And because you are influencing those, you know, younger kids, millennials or whoever, you do have a sense of duty to be authentic and be real. And I think there's too many people that are fake out there. And that because it's not regulated, we have to regulate ourselves. And, you know, we can't always rely upon the custom manufacturers, even though I do trust ours wholeheartedly. You know, you should still third-party test. But how many of these people out there doing that? You know, there's I'd say that's my biggest pet peeve, is that we get drawn into all the crappy supplements, because people will take this and go, you know what, that was terrible. It made me sick.
Mm-hmm.
Take a supplement again. You know, not thinking just like hairdressers or personal trainers. You're going to have good personal trainers and you're going to have some bad ones.
Yeah.
You know, we can get mixed into the same pot.
There's proprietary blends at like a 1B for you?
And proprietary blends, I think that's old news now.
Sure.
You know? People still point at that, but it's like, yeah, well, it's old news now.
Definitely moving away from it,
I'd
sure.
I'd say urine, you know, cow urine spiking, is probably right up there as well.
Sure. All right, let's get on to another question here. How's your mentality changed throughout the years as far as your dietary approach as you age and as you travel more with your career?
I don't age, man.
Yeah, that's true. You don't look a day over 21, so we're good.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. My mentality towards nutrition is definitely looking outside of the box now. I'm very, very health conscious over the past few years. You know, it was probably, people will probably think I'm a little bit paranoid, but I really enjoy that paranoia, if that's what they call it. So I really look at, you know, the health of my gut microbiome. I make sure that I stay away from foods that could possibly have mold toxins. You know, I try to detox myself as much as I can mentally. You know, in my infrared sauna, I have a clear light sauna, which is EMF. And, you know, I try to stay away a lot from these EMFs and that even. It's here somewhere, right here. So I go traveling next week. So I've got my travel Himalayan salt lamp.
Very cool.
You know, I'll try to eat organic, grass-fed or humane-raised whenever I possibly can and try to stay away from, you know, the heavy metal toxins. You know, I had problems some years ago where I was sleeping like 2.5 hours a night. Mm. And I'll just go through it and think, oh, you're okay. You're just, you know, you're a warrior. You can keep going. Not knowing that my serotonin and dopamine levels were just through the floor. And I realized it was a lot of my environmental factors and being exposed, being very sensitive to certain molds, that I had to really change a lot of things. And, you know, I had to work hard on detoxifying myself through various means. And so my nutrition is very, very pinpoint accurate now. So ever since I've started focusing on my health primary, as opposed to how I look, the way I look is better now. And I feel that's because I'm you know, using my health as a pecking order.
Yeah, I totally agree. That makes 100% sense to me. Asthma, it's a thing that a lot of people suffer from. I suffered from it as a kid. I believe you had issues with it as well. One of the questions that we had is, can you share some tips on how you control your asthma, specifically when they go through like your hardcore trainer series and they train very similar to some of the content that you put out?
Yeah, so one of the biggest things that I did to help eliminate myself from asthma, I won't say eliminate altogether, is removing myself from a lot of dairy. So no dairy. The only dairy that I'd have is basically recaged and casein. You know, I have coconut milk now. You know, I'll have cashew yogurt if I'm going to have that. So dairy was a big factor. Removing gluten from my diet helped as well. You know, call me a sensitive little cat, but a lot of grains are stored in massive vats. And like, you know, I grew up on a farm, so I know if you have a grain, it should then be stored before any moisture gets to it or you have mold toxins growing it. And a lot of, I think they tested about 90% of grain has a mold toxin on it. And unfortunately, the US isn't regulated. So a lot of the mold toxins that they would throw away in Japan or in the EU, they send to the US because we'll take it. So I removed gluten from my diet, and that really helped with my asthma as well. And obviously improving my fitness by doing my cardio twice a day, throwing some high-intensity interval training, you know, some sprints, some hill sprints and stuff like that, over time has really, really helped. Unfortunately, my girlfriend got a cat, and I'm not usually allergic, so that set off my asthma again, unfortunately. But the cat mostly lives outdoors now.
All right, second to last question. How many hours did it take to get all that ink done on your body?
Oh, wow. wouldn't even know. It'd have to be 2 weeks.
Yeah.
2 weeks in total. Like when I did the overview videos of the muscle building trainer, so if you look at my before and after pictures of the muscle building trainer, I got tattoos, which I didn't have in the before picture. So everyone's obviously, it was Photoshop. He's got tattoos. I got tattooed for 2.5 days straight. I think they were like hour days all on this side. And yeah, that was a tough session, but I was in Toronto and I knew if I wanted to take advantage of this tattooist that was there, I have to just get it done because I got to get it on a flight. But yeah, there's a lot of hours there. I just like to collect them sometimes in different cities or different countries, I'd say. If I see a tattooist that I like online, I'll maybe book in advance knowing that I'm traveling there. But I think I put a stop to them about 3 years ago now. No more, I don't think. Maybe 2 years ago.
Not going to change your mind?
I don't know. I never say never, but sure. I haven't for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I think I'm getting too old for that now, unless I go through another midlife crisis.
All right, last question for you, and then we'll let you go. As we know the importance of strength training and how good it can be for your overall health, but there are so many people that are scared to enter a gym because maybe they're intimidated by the clientele, someone that looks like you, someone that looks like me. What would be your advice to somebody who's maybe thinking about starting a gym membership or strength training, but just needs a little bit extra to get them over that hump?
Yeah, everybody should be doing it. And, you know, don't take a big step. If you are somebody that feels like you're going to get intimidated going into the gym for the first time, start doing some activity outdoors and maybe in groups first. So get a feeling of understanding what it's like to actually do exercise around other people. Maybe that's a walking club. Like, there's a running club called Sure. Pulse Run Group here that I've gone out with a few times. So it gets you a little bit used to being, interacting and maybe doing a spin class or whatever it may be. And then work your way into the actual gym area where maybe under the guidance of a personal trainer to get that gym induction, you feel a little bit comfortable. Because I think a lot of people go into the gym and they feel stupid, not because just because there's a lot of people in there, but they don't know how to use the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to look silly thinking, am I using this properly? You know, so I think, you know, take those baby steps of introduction to it first.
Yeah, and I think to those of us who are well embedded into the gym, if you see somebody maybe misusing a piece of equipment and you know they're new, I mean, offer some help. I think it's good for us to give it back.
I've always found that tough.
Really?
Because I'll see someone doing a deadlift and the head is, you know, looking straight in the mirror like that. I'm like, should I go up and like tell this person that they're not doing it correctly? I don't want to come across like an idiot or, mm-hmm. you know, like a dickhead or like a know-it-all. But at the same time, I don't want to injure themselves, you know. So it's a fine line.
Yeah, and for those of you guys obviously looking for a training program to do, Chris has a phenomenal training program at cagemuscle.com. You can find Chris. He's on Twitter. He's on Instagram. He's on Facebook. It's at Chris Gethin on Instagram, Chris Gethin on Facebook, at cagemuscle on Twitter. EAA is coming out soon, a full spectrum of awesome supplements, and I very much appreciate you taking the time coming on, chatting with us. We'll fully support you moving forward, looking forward to the EAAs, and just keep killing it, man. It's been awesome.
Oh, thank you very much, and thank you very much what you guys, what you're doing for the industry as well. You did an awesome job spreading the knowledge, and people normally tag me on, you know, a couple of your tweets, and you've done a fantastic job, and, you know, continue to, you know, keep growing that platform and spreading the right message. Really, really appreciate you.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in episode 2. Chris Gethin, CEO, Cage Muscle Supplements. Great chat with him. I hope you learned a thing or two. I'm going to sign off. It's been a nice, long, educational episode. But as always, do us a huge favor. Subscribe to all of our social media channels. We're on Facebook, YouTube, obviously, Snapchat, Twitter, and Instagram. And visit our official website. We're over at fitnessinformant.com. Stay tuned as we announce more guests, big names, right here to the Be Informed, Live Fit Podcast.